Good evening, everybody. Thank God for giving us one more opportunity to share my thoughts. Also, thank the elders for giving me an opportunity to share my thoughts here. Every time I come and stand here, or the last few times I stand here, it's always I feel nervous, very nervous. 2, 3 weeks back, there were Jacob George uncle, he also mentioned about the same thing. Every time he stands here, I feel it's the same place with me. I'm not a evangelist, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, but what I can do is that I can share my thoughts here. Whatever I learn and whatever study, I'm happy to share, and God has given me really that boldness to come and share here with the saints here. So for this evening, let's turn to John chapter 17. The opening verses, I will have to give a small context here and then go into chapter 17. The opening verses of 13 and 17 is an introductory to the last discourse, the upper room discourse, which talks about from chapters 13 to 17. In chapter 13 and in chapter 17, he says that the hour has come. So he knows that he has to leave this world, he has to go back to the Father. And then that was the occasion. And then the motive is basically he will be talking to the disciples else, and it's a love how that he is going to display there. So when I was studying this chapter 17, I had to read a number of times. But before that, when I was reading from chapter 13 to 16, you will have the full context of why chapter 17, the Lord has to pray for himself, for disciples, and for the saints at large. Now, chapter 13 talks about Jesus washing with the disciples' feet. He talks about the relationship between each other and then how one has to love one another. In chapter 14, the Lord encourages his disciples the relationship with the Son, with the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And chapter 15, it's about the fruit bearing and also about witnessing for the Christ. And in chapter 16, it's the persecution that they will face. They will face the persecution, they will be hated, and they will be misunderstood. So let's go back to chapter 17. That even though this chapter is all about the Lord's Prayer, in my school, I went to a Christian school in Hyderabad. It's similar to what we have, the Bishop Cotton in, that we have a grammar school in Hyderabad. There, they used to ask us in the assembly, they used to ask us to do the Lord's Prayer. But that was from the Matthew chapter 6, not the Lord's Prayer of what this is the real one. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be heaven. That was the prayer which he used to say. And that was the Lord's Prayer for a CSI from a CSI. I'm not trying to criticize them, but that is how the CSI world looks at it. But when you come to chapter 17, there are it's all about glorification to God. Even though the Lord, the Son prays to the Father about himself, about the disciples, about the saints, it's all about glorification. In chapter 17, verse 5, it says that glorify me together with yourself. In verse 10, he says that I am glorified in them, that is in the disciples. And in verse 24, it says that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. That is the saints at large. But today, for my focus, or rather my part of my message is, when you come to chapter 13 and 14, then let's read that the verses. For now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So, two verses which we want to concentrate or we want to study this evening. Amongst the true believers, there is nothing more lacking than the joy, I mean, spiritual joy. Many times I fail in that, in every aspect of my spiritual life or a family life or a life which I'm having with several other believers. I sometimes fail in my in having the spiritual joy. The amazing grace that God has not only saved us is from his death on the cross, but he's also given the joy, the blessedness in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at these chapters, before this chapter 17, the Lord talks about joy. He talks about that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Chapter 15 talks about the joy in relationship with obedience to the Father, through the Son, to the Father. Chapter 16, it talks about the joy in depending upon the God. And in chapter 17, he talks about the joy of separation. And then I have one more thought in my mind, the joy in endurance. Let's study about the joy in obedience. In chapter 15 and verse 9, let me read that verse for you. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my life. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my life, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy will remain in you. Here, the Lord, the Father, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about obedience, joy in his obedience. He's saying that I'm going to give my joy to you, that you will be fulfilled. But when we look at chapter 15, he says that unless and until you obey my commandments, hence the joy will not come. Unless and until you love your disciple, your fellow disciples, fellow believers, the joy will not be you. That is the complete obedience God is talking about. As a father, as a husband to my wife Lily, and as a father, I'm very fickle-minded in many of my things, and we get into not an argument, but we get into a differences of opinion. There we lose our joy. When we love our wife, when we love our children, when we love our saints around us, that joy will be given to the Father. And in verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy will remain. Here the Lord has set an example for us. He is saying that if you keep my commandments, hence if you abide in me, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, hence my and abide in his love, how I will give my joy. The joy is going to remain for you. That is number one, which is for today. And then when we come to chapter 16, verse 23 and 24, these 13 to 16 chapters, these are the truths which the Lord spoke to his disciples in the upper room. And all these things, whatever he spoke in 13, 14, 15, and 16, these are precisely the things which he is praying for the disciples. These are precisely the things the Lord is praying for the saints at last. Chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that is through the Son, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. The first one is joy in obedience to the Lord. The second one is joy in dependence, depending on the Father. We see here, we ask the Father in his name. We cannot directly go to the Father. It is always through the Son, Lord Jesus Christ, we go to the Father. Now, prayer is basically an expression of depending on the Lord. On the Lord. Obedience and dependence are inseparable. They are not; they cannot be separated. Once you obey, you depend upon God. It is basically a subjection of heart to the Lord's will. We have a very good example which I can quote, or rather, there are several examples which we can quote. But when you look at the people of Israelites, let's turn to Psalms 81. I'll read it for you, Psalms 81. And we see here how the people of Israel, they don't depend upon God. They disobey God and they go astray and they are basically put into all sorts of troubles. Verse 10, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. It's the dependence on the Lord. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So, and if you go through the entire chapter to the next six verses, He talks about how they disobeyed God. He talks about how they went away far from God. And then they were not obeying his commandments. They were not following his statutes. And then they were not depending upon him, on the Lord. And they were taking their decisions on their own. And that is how they suffered. Or if they would have obeyed God, if they would have depended on him, then he would have, and from verses 14 onwards, he would have subdued his enemies. He would have had his hands on the adversaries. He would have given the finest of the wheat. He would have given the honey from the rock. That is the things which God would have given if they obeyed. But unfortunately, the people of Israelites, they did not obey God, and they lost the joy in depending upon God. First, number one, in chapter 15, we see joy in the obedience. Second, in 16, second in chapter 16, we see joy in dependence. And then when we come to chapter 17, in that is 13 and verse 14, that is called joy of in separation. Joy of separation is basically, you see the details in chapter 14, or rather verse 14, and then some of the other verses which I would not like to go, but I will read this verse one more time. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Here, the Lord sets his disciples on a different position altogether with the Father. He is representing them and to the Father. He entrusts us them to the Holy Father. Here in verse 9 or 10, I believe, he talks about the Holy Father. He's giving them to the Holy Father. He says that I have kept your name and have kept them in the Father's still. But also when you look at verse 14, which I'll come to in a bit, he talks about separation, or he talks about how the world hated them because they accepted the Lord, because they have the word in them, and the world did not, and because they didn't, because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. So it's a sort of a separation. And when we come to the down verses in 18 and 19, it talks about the sanctification, or rather one of the verses here, and for their sake, I sanctify myself. The Lord did not sanctify himself because he is the one who is out of the world. He came from above. God has sent him. But he says that for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they may also, that they also might be sanctified to the truth. What does the sanctification here means? It's not the absolute sanctification which the Lord is speaking here. It's the practical sanctification. What is the difference? The absolute sanctification is the one which we have through our Father, through the Son, by the Father, where he sent his Son to die on the cross once for all. That is the sanctification which is about the absolute sanctification. But here it's the practical sanctification which the Lord is talking about. For their sake, I sanctify myself, that they may be sanctified to the faith. One verse which I wanted to show you with reference to this thought is, can you please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 20 and 21. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, that is dishonor, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. The sanctification is that you should be holy, you should be away from the world, you should not be mingling with the world, you should sanctify yourself. This is the practical sanctification where the Lord expects so that he can use you in your ministry, in your life in this world, for the gospel which we should be propagating. So here the Lord speaks about joy in the separation. Unless you are separated from the world, unless you are out of the world, unless the world is hating you, you will not have the joy in separation. You will have to be separated from the world to experience the joy. My joy, what is my joy? In these three chapters, we talked about joy in the obedience, joy in dependence in the God, and joy of separation from the world. Lastly, this is about the joy in endurance. Here we see an example from the Lord. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here we see the joy that was set before him endured the cross. It's an example for each one of us. The Lord went through this shame, agony, pain. He endured everything for us. And that is an example which God has set in front of us this evening, being the joy in endurance. Then coming to the verse 14 in chapter 17. After, from the fullness of joy, he passes on to the thought which I have this evening. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So this word, the half of this 14th verse, is also repeated in verse 16. It's the same words there. And we can see the importance and how much importance is giving to us. Let us pause here for a minute and realize the great fact that in no way that our Lord is of the world. Yes, he's no way of this world. God has sent him. He was born of a virgin woman, and then he did all according to the will of the Lord. It's nothing that is written in the Bible that he did on his own. Everything, whatever he did according to the will of the Lord, obeying him and depending on the Father, getting separated from the world. Everything, it was according to the Father. I have two or three thoughts here with respect to, I have given them your word. God has spoken previously. When you look at the Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God has spoken through the fathers, that is the fathers in the Old Testament, through prophets, through various other ways, through vision, through dreams, etc. But in the New Testament, in John chapter 1 and verse 1, he says that he is speaking through his word, through the Father, through the Son himself. Yes, and that is where we see the contrast between the disciples and the others. In contrast is, the others have rejected the message of the Father, the others have rejected the word, but the disciples have accepted it. And that is what we read. So three things which I wanted to share this evening is where we can distinguish the disciples, the believers from the others, is verse 6, he talks about they have kept the word. The first thing is that had marked them out of the world was their reception and adherence to the word. They have received the word and they have adhered to the word which was given to them. In verse 6, he talks about, it's repeated there, they have kept my word. In verse 8, they have received them. They have kept the word and they have received them. The first thing is that the word, they have received it and they have adhered to the word. In contrast, in the same John's gospel, we see in chapter 5, we see that the world has rejected the message of our Lord Jesus Christ, but the disciples, they have accepted it. The second and thought in verse 17 is, the implementation of the inherent and infallible word in their behavior led to the hatred from the world. The world hated them. Why did the world hate them? It is because they have accepted the word, they have kept the word, and they have hated it. Again, if you go back to chapter 15, in verse 19, if you go back, the Lord talks about the same thing here. If you weigh of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. It is because the disciples have accepted the word. It is because the disciples have accepted the Lord. The world is hating the disciples. Even in this present age also, when we go out, when we say, especially when you go to India and especially North India, we say that they hate Christians. Just because we accepted the Lord, just because we teach the gospel, they hate us. And that is why there is so much of persecution there in some of the places in India. So the first one is that they are receptive, they are adhering to the word. The second one is that because they are implementing the word in their daily lives, they are hated by the world, and the world has also hated them. And in verse And in the same verse, the third thing is conformity to Christ. They are not afraid of the world. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. When we talk, when we say about this, it is basically putting on the Lord Jesus Christ in them, in themselves. That word, just as, in King James Version, it says that even as in New King James Version, it is just as, which I like it, right? I am not of this world. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of this world. In Romans, Paul talks about putting on Lord Jesus Christ. When we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is what is basically, you are not of the world. In Galatians 3:7 also, for as many as you have baptized into Christ, you are put on Christ. So when we look at this this chapter four, verse 14, and when we accepted the word, when we accepted our Lord Jesus Christ, yes, when we are following the word, when we are following the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not of the world. The world has hated us. And that's why we are so blessed in the Lord. We are so blessed to have the joy in the Lord, because it is His joy which is giving us. And it's not any arbitrary joy which is coming in from somewhere in this world. It is the joy which the Lord Himself has given Him when we obey Him, when we are dependent on Him, when we got separated from this world, when we obey the word. It is the joy and the word which the God Himself has given.